Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
You know, last week it was the first drive end around to Dawson Knox that kind of got people talking. Last night it was the one with Elijah Moore. Just can you go into what the thinking was behind that play call in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it didn't work. Not a good play call. Probably not a good timing of the game. Like we said earlier in the season, you know, we needed to have those elements to our offense to be able to get the ball in the perimeter as opposed to just packing everything in at all times. But you know, we've gone two straight weeks where we put the ball on the ground. That can't happen. And so obviously you have to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, are we working that enough in those situations? Take the whole situation out of it. Are we working enough that for us to even put the ball on the ground? But like in that situation with the way that the game was going, much better play calls than that one right there.
Do you examine that play call from a bigger point of view, a philosophical point of view of, what do I as a play caller want to be doing in that spot? And I guess the way I'm going to break it down, and it's probably not fair to do it this way, but on the one hand, you have the, as Josh kind of alluded to last night, if we run duo or run something straight ahead versus what looks like a cute play, how do you philosophically approach when to stay with the tried and true and how often to go with the cute stuff?
Yeah. Again, I don't see it as cute stuff. I see it as plays that, like I said, we've given a lot of sweeps to Elijah Moore this year, and they've been good for us. But there's timing in the situations with it. There's look, we came out of last year, and you know, we did a lot of just QB sneaks and teams packing it up in there, and we knew that that was going to have to be another element to our short yardage was being able to get the ball out on the perimeters. And do you run downhills or QB sneaks and wait till they stop it to then be able to get to that? Do you do that so that they have to respect that, you know, moving forward before you do? And then you always have the QB sneaks, right? They're obviously playing QB sneak in that situation. You see all the guys obviously put the ball on the ground, so it looks like it'd be a dead play as it is. But yeah, no, we evaluate all of that. You know, you can move the pocket and do a, you know, one of those, like the touchdown to Ray Davis. You know, that's a play that could be ran in that situation. If you do that again and it's incomplete, it's like, hey, you know, we should have been, you know, downhill in that situation. So I think without giving away like scheme or whatever, that's obviously something that wasn't successful. Not a good play call in that situation. Regardless, you know, if it works, you'd say it was a good play call. But when you look at it from the way that the game was being played and all that, it's not the right timing of it. And, you know, those are definitely the ones that keep you up.
Last one for me, whether it's with that particular situation or just in general, is there a need to get James Cook more involved in this offense? Not that he has a guy that you're not using at all, but he was very effective last night. And towards the end of the game, it seemed like he was not in as much as maybe you would want a player who would have that much success would was.
Yeah, I think some of that, like, if you know, we had way too many three and outs last night. And when you have those three and outs, when you're living off schedule, it's hard to get back into a rhythm and continue to keep guys out on the field and kind of roll with it. And you know, obviously the last drive of the game, we're living in 2 minutes, and, you know, the drive before that, you know, we start with a, you know, we get a tie, a carry, and, you know, when you go three and out and boom, you're, you know, you're not able to get the touches. You know, but yeah, I mean, Jim was one of our best football players. And we obviously, you know, especially early in the season, the way that he was running, you know, but we also have to make sure that we're also staying two dimensional and being able to get the pass game going. And we have to get the pass game going better right now. And, but yeah, when Jimbo's on the field and we're giving him the ball, good things are happening. And it should help our pass game. So we obviously have a lot to improve on. And we got to take advantage of this bye week. That's for sure.
You mentioned pass game, just in that last answer there, just curious, would you, it's a big question, would you like to try to get the running backs more involved in the pass game, whether it be screens or anything else? Just even looking at, you know, Ty Johnson, I know similar to last season, early on, he wasn't as involved in the pass game, but where do you see that as in terms of that group there?
Yeah, look, we have to grow our offense, right? We have to continue to, especially these last two games, right? We're not proud of what we put on tape, right? Anytime if a team scores 21 points, we should win that football game every single time, right? And and our guys know that, right? You know, we just are, when the first drive of both halves kind of go like they did, the rest of the game shouldn't be so dang hard, right? And look, that's a really good defense, but we believe we're a really good offense, right? And we should be able to. We made it look really hard, and especially in the pass game and some of the protections, and it didn't have to be that hard. And I think when you come in, when you watch it, I think obviously I have to be better. It starts with me, and there's things that I have to clean up, and we have to clean up to not make it look that hard, and just to be able to not allow them to kind of tee off like they did and live in these. We basically played in, you know, when you're in second and 10 and third and 10, you're in like two third down situations. And then that's hard to make a living. Getting the running backs involved does help. I thought they did a really good job last night of, you know, bringing enough extra hats that, you know, if you try to hang in the pocket and you don't get to some of your checks and some of your alerts, that it's going to be tough sledding regardless if the running back is out or not. But a guy like Ty last year, right, as we got him going, you know, bringing that added element to our pass game. And so we have to, we'll be in here grinding away this week to figure out, you know, where we have to grow, what has to change, not just like, hey, what are some issues, but like, what are some solutions, right? And I don't think I felt like when we hit the ground in Seattle last year is when we were 3-2 last year. So there's no panic, but there's got to be a level of urgency, and we got to earn it, and we can't just say, hey, we're going offense and just go show up. So, it'll be a big week for us coming back with the guys and saying, hey, these are some things that we're going to clean up, and this is the direction that we need to go. And hopefully we're ready to rock for it next week.
You guys seem to have more success on first down earlier in the season. It's just been the last couple of weeks. Some of that has been penalties, but is also some of it just, you know, the league reacts to what you're doing and they see how the success you're having with the run game. I mean, how have you seen, you know, sort of that chess match play out as teams try to figure out how to stop you guys and then you looking for that adjustment?
Yeah, I think, and that's going to be the chess match all season, right? Like we, trying to get a feel of how teams are going to play us and us making the adjustments to how that's going to go. And I felt like last night it was the run game and the pass game that set us behind the chains at times. It wasn't anything one in particular, but once we were behind the chains, we made it look really hard getting back on schedule. You never want to live off schedule, no matter what, no matter who you have. But, you know, we have confidence in the guys we have up front and the guy that's pulling the trigger that, hey, we're in these tough situations that we can be able to ID it, protect it, and be able to get the ball out and good things should happen. And so, we obviously have to do a better job.
I asked you the same question I asked Coach last night. You have an ascending top five back in James Cook, and I know he's not, you know, the third down back primarily, but in certain situations, especially when he showed you that he has a rhythm, you know, why he's not out there in a 2-minute drill or third down situations when, you know, he posed much of a threat in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a threat. We feel like all of our running backs are threats, and some of it is, that's not to say Jimbo can't do any of that stuff, because, you know, we can be in normal situations, he's having to do it. But I think that, you know, everybody on our football team has a role, and there's a level of how much do you want to put on each player on any given play and throughout a game. And as always, if there's elements that we can take off of James, And because we have the type of backs that we have and the confidence that we have in the other backs, if we can take some things off of James Cook and Ty Johnson does an elite job in that area and that role, that we feel like that can benefit us. And that's not to say Jimbo can't do it, but that's just kind of us just using everybody on our team. If you're up, we're going to need you.
When teams get booked on you, how do you stay creative to, you know, keep continuing to have the same successes that you had the first four games?
I think, like as always, right? If something show up on tape, you're going to see it again, right? And we know that, and we can't be surprised if we see looks that that you might not have seen on tape, right? It's a copycat league, and you're always going to see a little something. And not saying there was things that showed up that New England showed up. I wouldn't say it like that, but there's always going to be blitz patterns or protection looks that might show up across the season. And that the following team is going to kind of see that and see if they can attack it the same way. I don't look at it as like, man, what we're doing offensively, like anything is broken, or like, oh man, we don't have answers. Like it's more of us right now. I think we're in a product of right now beating ourselves a little too much. And I said it last week, it's too hard to win in the NFL when you're also having to beat yourselves and trying to overcome that. And we have to do a better job of staying on schedule, both in the run and the pass. And if we do that, you can see on those first two drives what it kind of looks like. And, when we had the three and outs and we were struggling to, once we get a first down, good things usually happen. And last night, we didn't do a good job of doing that. And that's unacceptable.
You found some success coming out of, the second half with James Cook running the ball, and you was going downhill off play action with Ray Davis. What made you go away from that?
I wouldn't say we went away from that. We continued to kind of do that. We were just in a rhythm that we got some first downs. And, I think when you look at some of those next few drives, you get, when you have whether you're running it or whether you're passing it, we get a first down, you're able to kind of get back into whatever those things are. And, the problem is we had some three and outs, and we had so many opportunities in that second half, in that fourth quarter, third quarter specifically, to down by seven with the ball in our hands. Like, we got to go take advantage of those.
I know you just said, look at it as if anything's broken, but what's your level of concern with Keon Coleman not being able to be a big part of this passing attack, especially with Joshua Palmer going down?
Yeah. You go into a game, last night, right? Dalton's already down, Curtis is down. Josh had, obviously had those big catches, and, you get all those guys in that situation, regardless of plays tag, like, hey, you guys got to be able to know everybody's kind of role. And you're on the sideline making sure, hey, this guy knows this. This was originally for Josh. This was originally for this, and guys being the role. But we've had some opportunities. Keon had some one-on-ones last night that, he's obviously going to want back. And those opportunities, those are things that he knows, we're putting him in those positions that make him. And I got to make sure I'm doing I got to make sure I'm doing the best job to put our players in position to have success, right? And if I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing my job well enough. And so that's what I got to spend this time this week, making sure that that we're doing that, and we're getting the matchups that we want, the people where we want them, and we're taking advantage of that. And then when it's there, that, we're pulling the trigger and throwing and catching. And whether it's Keon, whether it's anybody on our football team, it's no different.
And just as a follow-up, and I appreciate the answer, there is a discussion out there that maybe the everything eats model, that you don't have enough depth or at receiver right now to overcome some of the issues that you've had and injuries that you've had. Where is your confidence level in your receiving group, given what happened yesterday, minus Dalton and after Palmer went down?
Yeah, I think you guys think I'm lying to you guys when I say that I'm good with our guys. Like, I have confidence. We've lost two games. It should feel, at least from the outside, it should feel like the sky has fallen, right? It should. There's got to be a level of urgency, and we're not okay with how we've played. But unfortunately, we've been in this position before, and I believe in the coaches and the players that we have, that we're gonna figure it out. We're not gonna figure it out just because we have before. We're gonna figure it out because we're gonna dive into it. We're gonna come up with solutions, and and kind of hit the ground running again. But I said it's a training camp with all the injuries. As long as there's 11 guys in the huddle, man, I'm going to have all the faith and the confidence in the guys that we have. I don't blink. Injuries are going to happen. Guys aren't going to be out, man. And if I don't have confidence in them, how can I expect them to have the confidence in themselves and be able to execute the football play, man? So I have nothing but confidence in the guys that are out there. And it's my job. I have to do a better job of putting them in positions to have success.
Hey, Joe, when we talked to Sean a little bit ago, he mentioned some of the great conversations you guys have already had as coordinators and Sean together, and also mentioned some of the things that, you know, he wants to do to help win this bye week, attack the bye week. Now that you guys have a 6-game sample size, with some of the good that's happening, some of the things you want to improve on, how do you look at accomplishing what you need to accomplish in this week off?
Yeah, I think I think the biggest thing is don't assume anything, right? Especially coming off of 2 losses, it's a natural tendency to just think you're not good at anything, right? And then there's sometimes you can get you can fool yourself into thinking, all right, well, hey, we were good at this before, so we're just naturally good at this. And it's a new year; we have new pieces. People have studied us; we've done things differently, and so really making sure that we're looking at everything without any assumptions. And like, hey, what in? And when we look at it, is, are we just, I don't care about the efficiency. It's, hey, did a play, did a play work just because Josh scrambled? And does that mean it's a good play? All right. Hey, did a play not work because, hey, we just, it was an errant throw. And so making sure that we're looking at everything, not just, hey, it's taking the analytics out of it, but just what do we see on paper and who are we this year and how do we need to evolve this year and not worrying about what it looked like in the past or what it's looked like in these 6 games. And like I said, last year, I didn't feel like we hit our ground until we hit Seattle. And I don't want to wait a few more weeks to hit that. And so there needs to be a level of urgency of us figuring out what's kind of, we've kind of put on tape and how we can continue to evolve, how we're being attacked and where to go from here.
You mentioned the, you know, kind of the outside perception there of, you know, some people feeling like the sky is falling. And I think it, you know, it does exist after a 2-game losing streak, but big picture, you're 4-2 through 6 weeks. So what are some of the things that have stood out to you that have gone right? Without giving away obviously game plan specific stuff or scheme stuff, but what, just generally speaking, what have you liked that you've seen so far from the offense?
Well, the first thing you have to point at is the way that the run games kind of come together in terms of how we're able to utilize a lot of the different personnel groupings and moving guys around and, you know, adding the addition of Jackson Halls into it and us being able to show that we can run it out of big personnel groupings, but also be able to, like the first play of the game yesterday, be able to pass the ball. There is a lot of good in our pass game. Right now it's the hard thing is that we go strictly off of the last 2 games, right? Like if we started 0-2 and we've won the last 4, we'd be feeling completely different with the exact same record, but that's reality. Have to look at it from perspective, but, I think that's something that we're going to just kind of look at all week is, hey, things that, you know, in my mind, I can think we're good at some things. I can tell you exactly like, hey, I think we're good at such and such. But when you put it on, when you actually watch and look at it, it's like, hey, are we as good as we think we are? Or is that something that, it's not playing out the same way. And, so there's going to be a lot of diving into it this week. And, are you going to see a completely different offense next week? No, but I hope you see a more efficient, with higher detail and higher execution, to be able to get to where we need to get to. Because right now, especially these last, call it 2.5 games, the detail and the level of execution hasn't been where it needs to be. And if I'm either coaching it or allowing it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.